Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I am glad here tonight. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to know the Lord. And you know, we rejoice right now as we think of what He's done for us, but it's nothing compared to how grateful we will be when we see Him. Amen. And just think what He's taken from us, the hope that He's given us, you know, what He made available. Oh, we are blessed as His children. Amen. We're very blessed to be here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray here as we begin here tonight. Praise the Lord to have His way. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, that we can come before Thee, Lord. We thank You for this little place, O Lord. Oh, God, that we've given to You, Lord. Oh, God, that we could gather here. Oh, Lord, that we could find You, Lord, that we could grow in You here, Lord. We thank You, O Lord, for the fellowship that we have with You, Lord, the fellowship with one another. But, O God, without You, we could do nothing, Lord. And if You didn't come to be among us, Lord, O God, it would be no point. There would be no point in being here, Lord. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You. We appreciate You, God. Oh, Lord, we lift You up, God. Oh, Lord, that the high praises of the Lord would be in our mouths and in our hearts, oh, Lord. And, oh, God, that You give us a spirit, oh, Lord, that's thankful, Lord. Oh, God, that we can rest in You, Lord, and we can praise You, Jesus. I ask that You have Your way in Jesus' name. Oh, God, by the power of the blood, Lord, that You'd have Your way here tonight, that You'd lead, guide, and direct. Oh, Lord, that You'd give me words, Lord, and that You'd speak to us near and far, Lord. You know what we need. Oh, God, You know as individuals what we have need of, Lord. And I pray that You would intervene here tonight in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Thank You, Lord. Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to turn for the first moment here to James, the first chapter, and catch a verse here. We're going to call this message, Times of Testing. Praise the Lord, and as children of the Lord, I think we find out what tests are like here as we walk the road with the Lord Jesus. And the thing is, you know, if we're going to grow in Him, He's going to give us some hurdles. You know, there's going to be some obstacles. There's going to be some hindrances. But through it all, we're learning to walk with the Lord. How we're learning, you know, to call upon Him. And we're learning how to overcome. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let's look at James here, the first chapter. And let's look at the 12th verse here. Verse 12, James 1, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We know that as we walk this earthly sod, that we are in an endurance race. It doesn't matter how brilliantly you start. And I, you know, you love to see people that come to the Lord and just take off with a running start. But in the long end, that's not what matters. Because as we walk this earth, we are in an endurance race. And it tells us in that 24th chapter of Matthew, because iniquity shall abound in the 12th verse here in Matthew 24. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And I think that's quite a descriptive verse of these times that we're living in right now. I think we often remark how the times have changed. And I believe in these last 10 years we have seen some tremendous changes. And mostly not for the better. You know, there might be a few things that could be stated as improvements, but generally, you see the attitudes of hardened hearts and people that don't know what it's like to fear the Lord, that don't regard God. We see that all over the place. But here, the Lord Jesus is telling us, And I believe this does certainly pertain to these end times. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And then that 13th verse, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Praise the Lord. And you know, Paul wrote and told us that we needed to endure hardships as a good soldier. And we know, you know, our weapons are not carnal at all in this world. Those are the things that we use to get closer to the Lord and gain the victory here in this world. No, it tells us that they are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And that's a wonderful thing to know that, oh yes, by the grace of God, even though we're not fighting with physical armory, with weapons at all, that through the works of God, by calling upon the Lord, by knowing how to prevail in prayer, we can bring down strongholds. Praise the Lord. Yes, that those verses there in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 3 again, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And praise the Lord, we just get a little glimpse sometimes of what we can do through prayer. What we can do by holding on to faith, by leaning on the Lord, by trusting in His promises. We get little glimpses of that. And oh, His promises, they are yea and they are nay. There is no limit to the power and authority of our God. And praise the Lord, He has put His Spirit within us when He filled us with the Holy Ghost so that we might overcome, so that that Spirit that was in Christ might be in us. Oh, yes, to enable us, to empower us, to give us authority and help us to overcome in this world. Oh, yes, that love of iniquity is abounding. But praise the Lord, we need strength to overcome. It tells us in the 5th verse here of 2 Corinthians, this 10th chapter, how to overcome. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, quite a bit there, because, you know, we fight this battle in our mind, and, you know, it can go on and on if we don't learn how to curb it. You know, those thoughts, those hindrances, those negative details that all try to bottle up in our minds. But praise the Lord, through faith and by the power of the Lord, we can learn how to cast down those imaginations, those vain thoughts, you know, those stray thoughts that try to get away from us and hinder us and make us think all kinds of negative things. So we learn how to cast them down, and all those high things, oh, you know, those works that try to exalt the flesh. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, everything that's contrary to His Word, we learn to bring it down. Because if it's not rooted in God's Word, it's not of God. And it talks about bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. There's quite a process there, learning how to turn everything over to the Lord Jesus, giving it over Him so that we can overcome in this world where there are trials and tests. Amen. But thank God we have these words here to guide and to direct us. Oh, to inspire us. Oh, yes. To help us to know that which we need to do in this world that is so contrary in so many ways. Oh, yes. You know, this world wants to take you every other way. You know, there's all these other things that, you know, come to mind and, you know, tempt and, you know, are in front of our faces so often. But praise the Lord, We can learn to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise the Lord. We can learn to walk with the Lord. We can learn to bring those thoughts into captivity, into the obedience of the knowledge of God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Psalm 77 here, a chapter here. Let's see how the Lord might lead us here. The 77th Psalm was written, I believe, by Asaph. And Asaph, you know, was a Levite. He was in the priest class there among the Hebrews. And he also had this gift as a musician. And obviously, David saw that quality in him. And he was appointed by David to preside over the musical endeavors, the choruses, the choirs that would minister to the people. And his sons obviously followed likewise in his footsteps. And there's mention made of the sons of Asaph also in the scripture. And besides that, Asaph was also known as a prophet and a poet. There's some mentions of that. And you know there are 12 different psalms that are credited to Asaph. Or it's possible that a few may pertain to his sons, having written them. But we're going to go to the 77th chapter now of Psalms, and it's one of his. It's one of Asaph's chapters. And as we go through this, we see that as it begins, that Asaph was going through a great trial. He was fighting some very hard things at the moment. Let's look at this here, the very first verse. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. So here it is, and obviously, you know, it was a time of trouble in this man's life, and obviously he had a very festering sore, either somewhere on his body or maybe in many places on his body, and I don't know details. I can relate to this because I remember back in the earlier 2000s, maybe about 2003, I had a festering sore on my knee that doctors didn't know what to do with, and it continued for many months, and people thought I was going to lose my leg and all those kind of things. But praise the Lord delivered me. Amen. The Lord knows how to heal us. The Lord knows how to help us. And sometimes, you know, you might have to fight that battle for a little bit, but our Lord knows how to give us victory and help us to overcome. Praise the Lord. So here it is. You know, this Asaph was also going through some kind of affliction here. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. And yes, he was going to the Lord with it. And, you know, he acknowledges in that first verse that he's crying out with his voice, even unto God. And praise the Lord, humbly before this is finished here tonight, that we can say God gave ear unto him. Oh, God heard it from the start. But, you know, at the first, I believe that Asaph didn't have faith. Let's look at this here. It says in verse 3, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. And he says in verse 4, Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. And obviously, you know, it was obviously very disturbing, very grievous, and, you know, something to wonder at. You know, when you're in the middle of a trial, I think perhaps all of us have been there, you might wonder when it's ever going to end. And here it is. He's got the spirit of complaint, however. And he's troubled. You know, he's very disturbed. He's very restless. Oh, yes, he's remembering God, but he's not crying out with faith at this moment. In fact, it says, yes, thou holdest mine eyes waking. You know, I'm not sure if he's trying to sleep and just going to. It can be very hard to sleep when you're going through trials. When you're going through times of pain, it can be very hard to sleep. And he says, I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Oh, the grief was so deep. And I don't know just all that was going on in his mind exactly. But, you know, he might have even been kind of blaming God, perhaps. I'm not sure here. But anyway, there's a negative spirit for sure that's going on here in these first verses. In verse 5, it says, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. So he's thinking back, the good old days, you know, when things were better, when he was healthy and things were going well. And then he says in verse 6, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. But here, he's finally doing something positive. You know, he's starting to remember that song in the night. Oh, that wonderful song that the Lord gives us, that song of faith, that song of hope, that song of victory that he puts within our very being, that new song of praise that he gives us when we are redeemed. But he's also, he says, I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Oh, you know, that's often very needful. The Lord sometimes takes us through these times to get us to contemplate, to get us to think. There might be something that we need to resolve. There might be something in our life that's not right with God. And as the psalmist says in Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, that need to search one's heart, to make inquiry, to see if everything is okay, to make that diligent search that he's talking about here. I know in Psalm 66, verse 18, I believe it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And you know, a lot of times I think people don't get that. But you know, that heart needs to be emptied out before God. That heart needs to be given to God. Sometimes there's things that creep on in. Sometimes there's things way down deep that need to go, that perhaps one has been hanging on, maybe for years and years. And oh my, sometimes, you know, there is such a need to make diligent search, to inquire of the Lord. We don't want iniquity in our heart. And no wonder the psalmist cried, just search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, O God, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, there is such a need for that. Oh, yes, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're not going to make it all to heaven of our own good works. None of that at all. We all need to get to that place where we humble our hearts before the mighty hand of God so that he can exalt us in due time. Oh, yes, there is such a need for that. In 2 Corinthians the 13th chapter, there's also a very appropriate verse, I feel. I'd like to look there. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Verse 5 reads, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you? Except ye be reprobates. He says, but I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. And that's the last thing we want to be. Oh, yes, where we can no longer discern between what is right and what is wrong. We never, never want to get to that hardened state where our heart is so far away from God that we no longer know right from wrong. But yet there is a need to check ourselves, examine ourselves, to just see, are we still walking with the Lord? Are our motives right? Are they pure? Are we walking in His will? Or do we stray off the path a few weeks ago? Maybe a few years ago? There's a need to examine ourselves and to prove or test or try our own selves. Just to see, do that check, is our life in accord with the Word of God, with the ways of the Lord Jesus? And, Paul writes here, know ye not yourselves how that Jesus Christ is in you. Praise the Lord again. The Holy Ghost that He puts within us, that Spirit of truth that He puts within us. And if we're walking in the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. But sometimes, things go a little awry, and provocations come in, and tests and trials, and somehow, through it all, sometimes people go the wrong way and don't see and understand it for a while. We know that it took Nathan the prophet to come to David the king to tell him that he had sinned after that affair that he had with Bathsheba and all that he did. He didn't seem to get it at all until Nathan came with that story that he told him, that proverb that he told him. But that's what it took to help David to see what had gone wrong in his life. For some reason, he hadn't understood the consequences of what he had done. But praise the Lord made a way so that somebody would help him in that matter. Thank God we have the written word. Thank God we have a ministry here. And all of these things, we have the Spirit of the Lord to talk to our hearts. So that we don't stray, so that we don't walk off the narrow path and get lost, get hindered, get bottled up in some kind of carnal details and go astray. Oh, praise the Lord. But there are times, yes, that we need to commune with our own hearts, as Asaph here in verse 6 of Psalm 77. And then, he starts asking questions. And, I think we've all been to that place where we're just wondering, is this ever, ever, ever going to end? And it seems like this is what he was going through here in these next few verses. Verse 7, will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? Are there going to be no more answers? Am I going to have no more favor? Where is God? He's asking, he's pondering. Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? I guess he was in that place where he just didn't know what to think. He was going through this loathsome trial and this test, and he felt almost like he was forsaken, it seems, here. He asked in verse 8, is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? He is really going through a hard time. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercy, Selah? Sometimes I think people do get to this place where they wonder, have I just gone too far? Have I gone so far from God that there's no hope for me? I'm so thankful that we serve a gracious God. Oh, yes, it is so willing to forgive. Who's so willing to, turn us around and help us. Oh, yes, through all these naughty areas that come upon our lives. I don't know all the thoughts for sure that were going through Asaph's mind, but you know, he was pondering these things, and you know, he didn't know, did God forget to be gracious, have his anger shut up, his tender mercies? Is he just too angry to help me? Have I just gone too far? Oh, I praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that you people will humble themselves and cry out to God that he will show mercy. Oh, yes, he is ever pitiful. He's ever willing to forgive us and to cleanse us from all iniquity. I praise the Lord that as long as it's in our heart to turn around, I believe the Lord is merciful and so willing to forgive and to forget and to give us another opportunity. Praise the Lord. In verse 10, though, it seems that things begin to turn around. In verse 10, Asaph says, "And I said, this is my infirmity." Whatever had caused it, whatever the problem was, he's acknowledging, you know, this is my problem. And, you know, I can't blame somebody else. You know, I can't put it anywhere else. This is mine. But he says now with hope, "But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High." Oh, yes, now he's going to go back and look at those times of favor. Oh, yes, those years when the right hand of the Most High was in his life, when he was shown favor. And then he says in verse 11, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old." You see, now he's going back to encourage himself in the Lord. Now he's going back to think of the things that God had done for him. Oh, that were beyond expectations. The things that were so beautiful and so hopeful and so reassuring. The things that only God could do. And praise the Lord. We sang all those wonderful songs tonight about thanking the Lord, appreciating the Lord. And praise the Lord, that's where we get to those higher places. Oh yes, when we can see the goodness of the Lord, we forget about all the naughty things in this life. We forget about all the negatives, and we begin to dwell on the good things of God. Things begin to turn around. Praise the Lord. And here, Asaph is beginning to remember all the good things that the Lord had done for him in the past, the years of his right hand. Oh, yes, he began to remember the works of the Lord. "Surely I will remember thy wonders of old." Oh, praise the Lord, the things that God does for us, those miracles, oh, those little things that sometimes we don't even know. Maybe we don't even realize until maybe time has passed that God did a wonderful, outstanding thing for us, how he kept us from trouble. Oh, yes, even from death. Oh, my, from sicknesses, from so much that we need to give thanks for. But he says in verse 12, "I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings." Oh, praise the Lord. Things begin to change when we begin to meditate upon the things of the Lord. Yes, when we begin to talk of his doings, things begin to change in our lives. Oh, God looks for those positive confessions of faith. Oh, yes, that's when faith comes down. You see, Asaph was struggling those first verses. You know, that negative spirit did not bring faith down. God couldn't touch him. Oh, God couldn't move at that moment. He was negative. He was full of doubts. He was full of fear. He was full of blame. All those things that were upon him. But praise the Lord, things start to turn, don't they? When we start thinking about the goodness of the Lord and what he has done for us. Oh, I like how Paul wrote to the Philippians in the 4th chapter there. Philippians, just going here for a moment. Verse 4 that says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Oh boy, there's something positive about rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Then he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Praise the Lord. In other words, don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Be careful for nothing. But see, with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, what a difference it makes, you know? Hanging on to faith, believing God, thanking Him for the things that He has done, thanking Him for the things that He is yet going to do. Let your requests be known unto God. Oh, praise the Lord. See the spirit of thankfulness. Oh, it's such a necessary one. Oh, you could get way down in those doom and gloom pits, and you know you're going to get nowhere down there. But praise the Lord when we can lift up a heart that's thankful. We can lift up our heart with our hands and draw nigh unto the living God with a thankful spirit. Oh, praise the Lord, he says here in Philippians, that seventh verse, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, I love that verse. That peace of God, which passeth all understanding. There is no peace like the peace that Jesus Christ gives. The world can never find it of its own. But that peace that He gives us because everything is right. We've made our peace with God. Therefore, yes, His peace comes through. That peace that we can't explain because we know all is well with our soul. We've given it to the Lord, you know, and He's turned it all over. He has forgiven us our transgressions. He's forgiven us our sins. He's taken us up out of that awful pit wherein we were. And then telling us here how to think here in verse 8. And what a verse this is. It says in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Oh, praise the Lord. What a difference it makes in our lives. Oh, when we lift up the goodness of the Lord, when we think of the things that He has done for us. Oh, His redeeming power, His ability to save us. Oh, His healing virtue, all those wonderful things, His goodness, the blessings that He bestows upon us. Oh, yes, all those wonderful things. Those promises that we hang on to. Oh, yes, those promises that are yea and amen. Praise the Lord. But what a difference it makes when that attitude is right, when the spirit within us is right. So we start to think on the goodness of the Lord, the things that are true, the things that are honest, the things that are just, the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, the things that are a good report. Praise the Lord, anything that is of virtue, anything that is of praise, to dwell on that, to lift that up. Oh, yes, to hide that in our hearts. Oh, yes, to go forward with that. Praise the Lord. So Asaph, getting back here to Psalm 77. Here it is, he's beginning to remember here in verse 10. The blessings of the Lord, the years of the right hand of the Most High. Verse 11, the works of the Lord, the wonders of old, all blessings that He had bestowed upon him. And then meditating also of all Thy work. And yes, not only meditating in the heart, but talking about it. Oh yes, our conversation. Oh, to lift it up unto the Lord with praise. In adoration for the things of God, talking of His wonders, talking of His goodness, talking things of faith. Yes, talking of His promises. He goes on to say in verse 13, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God?" Oh, it's a question again, but oh yes, here he's meditating the goodness of the Lord, the greatness of the Lord. "Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah." Oh, praise the Lord. He goes back to some past victories. And you know, that's always a good thing to do. You know, and we get to those moments where, oh yes, the frustration is so great. And oh yes, we can't see the end from the beginning and we don't know what's going to happen next. What do we do? We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. As David did when he was come to Ziklag there in 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter. Oh yes, he had been in the land of the Philistines, and now he had returned to the place where he had been dwelling, Ziklag, the place where his family was. And when he got there, he found out that the Amalekites had been there. The Amalekites had come in, and they had burned the city with fire. They had smitten it, and they had taken all their loved ones captive. And here they came, David and his men, they came to Ziklag, and this is the condition that they found. It was burned with fire. It tells us their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captives. And the people were so distressed. It was such a heavy thing here. I'm sure they were looking forward so to going home and be with their loved ones, you know, resting from their labors, so to speak, for the moment. And here they find this condition. Oh, nothing that anybody would like. You know, oh my, you know, it's something like, you know, have you ever been to this place to have a feeling, yes, you know, where, you know, you're really tired, you're getting ready to go to bed, and all at once the telephone rings, and you realize, oh, there's another problem, there's another situation, and you can't go to sleep yet. But this is even more so, it seems, here. They came back home, and yes, it had been burned, the Amalekites had come in, and had taken their belongings, had taken their wives, had taken their sons, had taken their daughters. And it was such a heavy spirit that came upon them that David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept. Oh, it was such a heavy thing. They wept and they wept. It tells us until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives had been taken, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. And beyond that, the people, the men, spake of stoning him, because they were all so grieved in their spirit, and it was all so heavy, and it was so, so hard to bear. And they're talking about stoning David, blaming him for this which had happened. But that sixth little verse here in chapter 30 of 1 Samuel tells us, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David." And he was going to use that ephod to inquire at the Lord. And he asked God if he should pursue this troop, those that had come in and taken the city and burned it. And the answer came back, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." It tells us how David went, he and the 600 men that were with him. They came to the brook Besor, and there some left behind because they didn't have enough strength to continue. But how the Lord worked it out. Oh yes, there they found an Egyptian man. He was in the field, and they brought him to David, and you know, they gave him some nourishment, bread, and he did eat, and they made him have some water. They gave him some water to drink. They gave him a piece of cake of figs, it tells us in verse 12, two clusters of raisins, and when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water for 3 days and three nights. And you know the story, that he's a young man, and you know he's from Egypt, and he was a servant of Amalekite, and he had been abandoned because he had been left sick those days earlier before the invasion. And, you know, he talks about, you know, what happened and how Ziklag was burnt with fire. And David realizes that this young man could show them where the enemy would be. He could lead them to the Amalekites who had burned the city and taken their families captive, and all their belongings and all of that. And so David requested of him, and David said to him in verse 15, "Canst thou bring me down to this company?" And he said, "Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company." Praise the Lord, he brought him down there. And when they got there, these Amalekites were having a big old party. Oh, they were just going crazy because of the victory they thought they had won. And it tells us here, they were spread abroad upon the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. Oh, they were having a big old party. And praise the Lord, that was the advantage. David caught them off guard, and you know, he was able to smite them from the twilight even into the evening of the next day, it tells us. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughter, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Oh, the goodness of the Lord. David took all the flocks and the herds, which they drave before those other cattle, and said, "This is David's spoil." And, you know, he gave to the other man. He gave, he shared among them. And he shared among those others that had been a part of, you know, his fellowship in the past. Tells us in the rest of this chapter how he split the spoil with those that he had known, that, you know, in the areas that he had gone. In running away from Saul, he had made friendships and all. But you see the glorious victory that God wrought. And oh, you know, from tremendous gloom and despair to a great, great victory. It seems to me that this is what Asaph is talking about too. You know, oh my, so heavy that, you know, that sore that was festering, that was running all night, that sore that he didn't know was ever going to heal, if it was ever going to heal, or what was going to happen. Maybe he would die. But praise the Lord, how things began to change when he began to think about the good things of God. Oh yes, when he began to remember the blessings of the past. When he began to meditate upon the works of the Lord, when he began to talk of the Lord's doings, Oh, praise the Lord. He said, thy way, O God, in verse 13, Psalm 77, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God is our God. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. Oh, praise the Lord, how things begin to change. He mentions the sons of Jacob and Joseph. You know, and oh, we know the trial that Joseph went through. Oh, Joseph, who was so betrayed by his brothers, who was so mistreated, who was sold to the Midianites, you know, and taken down to Egypt, brought before Potiphar, made to, you know, minister before him. And all those events had followed, and then Potiphar's wife, oh, yes, coming after him and then accusing him and, you know, downright lied, taking advantage of him as she could and him being cast into prison. But the thing that we see about Joseph is that God was with him. Oh, yes, in all his doings, even in Potiphar's house, God blessed him. Even in prison, God blessed him, and he was made over the other prisoners. They could see something in Joseph that was special. God took care of him. Oh, yes, we know when, you know, time had passed, how Pharaoh had that dream. They needed somebody to interpret it. And suddenly, at that point, Joseph was remembered. And suddenly, you know, it came to mind that there was a man who had been in prison that could interpret dreams. And praise the Lord, you know, Pharaoh wanted to meet that man. Oh, it was hope, you know, he'd had that bizarre dream, you know, just those skinny cows that devoured the fat cows. You know, he didn't know what it meant and he needed an interpreter. Oh, yes, those skinny ears of corn devoured the fat ears of corn. It didn't make sense. It wasn't logical. It was crazy. But praise the Lord, God was using that. Oh, yes, for the right moment so Joseph could come forth. Oh, yes, when suddenly it was remembered, you know, that there was a man that knew how to interpret dreams. And how God used it. Oh, God used it. Pharaoh could see the wisdom in Joseph. And suddenly, his years of hardship were gone, weren't they? God took him out of that prison. God lifted him up. Oh, yes, he became second in the kingdom. Only Pharaoh was greater in power than he was. Oh, yes, that ring that Pharaoh had on his finger, he put on Joseph's finger. Oh, he gave him authority and power. And God used Joseph. Oh, yes, because those dreams that Pharaoh had indicated that there were going to be seven wonderful, bountiful years that would come forth when the earth would bring forth much. But they would be followed by 7 years of famine. And they needed to make preparations. They needed to use those good years to save for the lean years. And praise the Lord, God gave Joseph wisdom and understanding to know and to help Pharaoh to know how to go about it. And how the Lord used that. Oh, yes, even his brothers had to come unto him, did they? Those brothers, oh, that had sold him. Oh, those brothers who had took his beautiful coat of many colors and dipped it in animal's blood to make the father think that Joseph had been killed by a wild beast. Oh, and the grief that Jacob had all those years mourning for his son that he thought was dead. But praise the Lord knew how to restore it. The Lord, yes, used Joseph in a wonderful way. Oh, yes, I have a feeling that Joseph had a spirit within him. Yes, that prevailed upon the goodness of the Lord, that thought upon the good things of the Lord, and in spite of, you know, all these predicaments that he got himself into, that he did deserve, these trials, these tests, these things that you couldn't understand, that certainly Joseph could not understand. Yet, he didn't blame God. He didn't get angry at God. But he waited on God, I would say. And God, when it was time, delivered him and took him out. And when it was all over, again restored to his father, restored to his brothers, and they all came to dwell in the land of Goshen. Oh yes, he was able to say to them, particularly after his father Jacob had died, that you meant these things for my harm, brothers, but God meant them unto good. Praise the Lord, and he was willing and able to forgive his brothers for all the hard things that they had done, the terrible things they had done unto him. Oh, praise the Lord. But wonderful things happen when we begin to remember the goodness of the Lord, when we begin to remember the victories that he has won for us, the things that we did because God was with us. God sent his angels to help us. Oh, God made a way when there seemed like there was no way. He sent that money when it seemed like it would come from nowhere. And we were up against the blank wall. Oh, yes, maybe we were down in our bed so sick and didn't know if we'd ever get up. But praise the Lord, he raised us up. Oh, yes, he gave us strength when we felt that we were so weak that we could not do it of ourselves. Oh, that's our God. And, you know, Asaph began to meditate upon those things and think about how God had done those wonders, all the mighty things that, oh, yes, it happened in his life, wonderful things that had happened to the children of Israel, how his own arm had redeemed the people, how he brought them out of Egypt. Oh, yes, how he took them over the Red Sea. Oh, yes, all those wonderful works. How he had delivered them time and time again. What a wonderful thing begins to happen when we encourage ourselves in the Lord, even in these times of testing, these times of travail, these times of hardship. Oh, yes, it tells us in verse 16 here in Psalm 77, the waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Oh, yes, when God begins to reveal his power. Oh, yes, when he begins to make himself known. Oh, yes, even the creation reacts. Oh, yes, I have a feeling, oh, yes, that, oh, when the Lord comes forth, oh, yes, in his brilliance, in his might, oh, yes, when we see him, oh, yes, oh, there's those consequences. Oh, it's going to be the creation reacting to the Mighty One, the God of all gods coming down to this earth. Oh, yes, to receive his people, to end all these times of trials and tests, to deliver his people from this world, but to judge this world in righteousness. If you glance over at the 75th chapter here of Psalms, another song of Asaph. It says, verse 1 says in chapter 75, unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. Oh, praise the Lord. You see that spirit of appreciation, of thanksgiving. Oh, yes, in this man, for thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. And then he says, I believe this is prophetic. It says, when I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of its Selah. Oh, I believe this is foretelling of the coming of the Lord. Oh, yes, that day of the Lord that is soon to come. It tells us, if you glance at Psalm 76, verse 6, at thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse are cast into a dead sleep. Thou, even thou, art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still when God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, Selah. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be round about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirits of princes. He is terrible to the kings of the earth. Oh, I'll tell you what, we want to be on the right hand of God. He asked that question, thou, even thou art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Well, people have no thought of what it's going to be like to stand before God. Oh, you're going to stand before him one way or the other, to either be blessed or to be cursed forever. Oh yes, to receive condemnation or to receive blessing at the rebuke of God. Oh my, how you want to be on his right hand. And oh yes, that moment when he receives the congregation, oh, when it's complete, oh yes, when the fullness of his remnant has come into the fold, God is going to gather his people together. Oh, he is going to bring them forth. He's going to receive the congregation. And then he is going to judge uprightly. And it describes it here. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it. Oh, yes, this world is standing on the Word of God. Oh, it's orbiting, we say, in space. But what's holding it up? Oh, I'll tell you what, it's our God, it's his Word. He's got the pillars of it. Man has nothing to do with that. But he's going to come to judge. Oh, the 50th Psalm talks about it too. Oh, that day of his coming. It says in Psalms 50, verse 1, the mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Our God shall come and save us. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. And then he cries, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself, Selah. But oh yes, that day, yes, when he shall come forth, God shines out of Zion. Oh yes, that Mount Zion on the sides of the north that it speaks of there. And Psalms 48 verse 2, oh, the city of our God, the mountain of his holiness. Oh yes, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Praise the Lord. Oh, our God's going to come out of Zion. He's going to shine forth. And he's not going to be silent. It tells us here in this 50th Psalm, that third verse, oh, he's not going to be silent. He's not going to be silent. The earth, the creation, oh yes, is going to react to the coming of the Lord. Oh yes, when he comes with vengeance to judge this world, the creation is going to react. It says a fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. Oh my. It's going to be quite a sight. Oh, as he calls to the heavens, he's going to gather his people. He's going to bring those that are with him back to this earth. And then he's going to call to the earth and gather those that are yet on the earth. And they gather the people together that he may judge them. That gathering of his saints together. All his people together, the remnant. All the called out one, the ecclesia, the church of the living God. He's going to gather them together at this moment. Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifices. Oh, praise the Lord. That's our God. The heavens are going to declare his righteousness. Oh, the creation is going to react. Oh, yes, we know. Yes, in 2 Peter, that third chapter, when it talks about the day of the Lord. For the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and all the works that are therein shall be burned up. Oh, yes, the reaction to the coming forth of the Lord, that day of judgment. Oh, praise the Lord. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and good in godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Oh, yes, the creation reacting here. But nevertheless, it says in verse 13, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. All the hope of our hearts. So God coming to judge. But praise the Lord, he's also coming to redeem his people from this world. Oh yes, the people of the Lord have a great hope. Oh, praise the Lord. And it asks here, you know, or it urges us here, I should say, here in verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Oh, that's our great desire. That moment, oh yes, when the Lord comes forth, oh, when the creations, oh, begin to, oh yes, be dissolved. The earth and all the works that are therein being dissolved. Oh yes, vanishing, oh, going, oh yes, up into smoke. Yet the Lord will be the hope of his people. Oh, yes. Yet his people, oh, yes, will be caught up with the Lord, to be ever with the Lord. Oh, yes, and that is our hope, that we comfort one another with those words. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, the reaction here. Oh yes, as God begins to bring forth his judgment. You know, the description here in Psalm 77. Again, the waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings of the world. The earth trembled and shook. Oh, the power of God. Oh, yes, he comes forth. His glory and his might, the manifestations of God, the reactions of his creation. As the psalm ends, it says in verse 19, thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Oh, praise the Lord. I believe as Asaph began to think about the goodness of the Lord, the greatness of our God, oh, yes, I believe that sore that was running wild, oh, yes, began to heal. Oh, yes, as he showed forth faith. Oh, yes, as he dwelt upon the good things of God, as he thought and considered them, meditating, began to speak of the good things of God, oh, thinking about the power, the might, oh, yes, the wonder of our living God. Things begin to change. Oh, yes, circumstances begin to change. Oh, yes. And praise the Lord, you know, our God is so wonderful. He's so beyond our knowledge. He's so beyond our ways. Thy way is in the sea, he wrote. Thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Oh, who is like unto our God? Who could we compare with him? Oh, there is not one. There is not any. There is not anything like our God. His ways are past finding out. So great and so mighty. Oh, but praise the Lord. He led his people like a flock. He led the children of Israel through the wilderness. And praise the Lord. In spite of times of testing, in spite of trials, the Lord knows how to lead his people at these times too. Oh yes, these times, oh yes, when iniquity abounds. Oh, and there are temptations on every side. And we see evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse. We see dreadful things coming upon this earth. Yet, we serve a God. Yes, he does allow his people to be tried. He does allow tests to come upon our lives. But praise the Lord, he is mighty to lead us. He is mighty to direct us. He is mighty to take us through this world and to deliver us from all our enemies, from all the opposition, from all the trials, from all the tests, to give us victory, to give us strength, to give us hope. Oh, yes, that's our God. We have in his word wonderful, great, and precious promises. Let's just look at 2 Peter here, the first chapter, a few verses here as I close. It says in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Praise the Lord, the hope that we have in Jesus, those wonderful, exceeding great and precious promises. And I do need to go one more place. We could go to the first chapter of 1 Peter. Oh, yes, if we could make that calling and election sure. Oh, yes, give that diligence to make it sure. Because Peter, in the first chapter of 1 Peter, talks about us who are saved by a lively hope. Here, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, there, the third verse here, and part of it, we have been gotten unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Oh, what he has promised for his children, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed the last time. Oh, yes, it says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Oh, that's why we're going through such things. That's why we have trials. That's why the Lord allows us to go through those things, because those trials of our faith, it says, are more precious than gold that perisheth. Because, oh yes, when we stand before our God, we want to be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not yet, believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, yes. We do go through times of trials. We do go through times of testing, just as Asaph did. But our Lord knows how to take us through. Oh, yes. So that, oh, yes, we can receive that inheritance. Oh, yes, that he has reserved for his people, that inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, that's reserved in the heavens for you. Oh, praise the Lord, we who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed the last time. Oh, the Lord allowing these things, oh, yes, to make us acceptable in his sight when we stand before him. Oh, yes, we might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised them that love him. Here from James, the first chapter, verse 12. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we're going to be tried. We're going to be tempted. But praise the Lord has made a way that we can retain our faith in God. And yes, purify ourselves. And oh yes, come through those trials. Yes, with something more precious than gold that perisheth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Yes, that's why we have these times of testing. Praise the Lord, but he gives us strength to endure until the end. Thank the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, Lord, we thank you, God, and we praise you, Jesus. Oh, God, we worship you, Lord, and we acknowledge you. Oh, God, we give you thanks. Oh, God, we give you praise. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If we could just rejoice the Lord, our Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. We are going to open our chorus books now to number 34 and sing "How Great Is Our God," number 34. How great is our God, how great is His name, He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in me. How great is our God, how great is His name, He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in me. How great is our God, how great is His name, He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in me. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise you, God. Praise God. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.